In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. They didn't have much time. The sun was beginning to set, and as soon as the sun set, Sabbath would begin. Jesus had died at 3 o'clock, and they were in a rush to figure out how to get his body quickly buried while they still could, before they had to stop and rest and wait on the Sabbath. So with Jesus dead, Joseph of Arimathea, a man who had been on the very council that had condemned Jesus to death just hours beforehand, goes to Pilate, begging Pilate for the body of Jesus. Typically in this kind of situation, Jesus' body would have been hastily taken down from the cross, thrown into a mass grave, covered up, and lost forever. But this man was too important, even in his death, to these disciples, and so they wanted his body buried honorably, with dignity. So Joseph of Arimathea gets permission from Pilate, gets the body of Jesus, and takes Jesus to a tomb, not a mass grave, but a tomb where Jesus' body will be laid all by himself, with a little bit of dignity. Not complete dignity yet, because they don't have enough time to properly anoint his body for burial. The spices, the oils that they would use to give the body a sacred, precious burial, they didn't have enough time. So the women followed Joseph around. They saw him laid in the tomb. The tomb was sealed. And they had to wait. They went back home to get the spices ready, that as soon as Sabbath was over and the dawn came on Sunday morning, they'd be able to return to the tomb and finish the proper burial. But in the meantime, they had to wait. Sabbath. Such an important ritual and pattern for the people of God. Sabbath, the word literally means in the Hebrew, to stop. To wait. To rest. God's people have been commanded by God to stop and to wait at least once every 7 days. And then once for a year every 7 years. And then again every 50th year. And at these times of stopping, God was reminding them that they needed to relax. They could easily get so busy and built up with their plans, their agendas, the things they had to do, what they had to take care of to make sure that life would move forward. God said, you need to at least stop every once in a while and remember, you're not in charge. I am. You're not going to fix the world. I am. You're not going to save the world. I am. So stop. And take some time to remember that. You can see this all throughout the psalm. Wait on the Lord. And in the prophets, constantly calling the people to wait on him. Don't make political alliances with Egypt, the prophets would say. Don't go down to Assyria or over to Babylon to try to fix your problems. God knows you have problems. Look to him. And wait. He'll come through in his good timing. One of my favorite moments of waiting in all the scriptures happens during the Exodus. So remember, God's people had been in slavery for 400 years. God had raised up Moses and sent him to let the people go from that slavery. The Pharaoh had resisted, but after 10 plagues pummeled the people in the empire of Egypt, Pharaoh finally begrudgingly relented and said, "Get out of here." So the people left, ready to go in the middle of the night. And they took all their stuff and even plundered the Egyptian people, and they headed out. Victory, they thought, was at hand. But as they were going, they ran into one of the greatest obstacles of all time. They ran into a great body of water, the Red Sea. That may not seem like a big deal enough, but in the meantime, after Pharaoh had woken up the next morning, he regretted his decision. He thought he was being weak, giving in by letting them go. So Pharaoh rallied up his army of chariots and sent them after God's people. "We will take them back into slavery." So we find the people of Israel stuck in no man's land. An impenetrable body of water on one side, and an impenetrable army of chariots racing down upon them on the other. The world was completely out of control. They saw their impending deaths, and they complained to Moses, "You just bring us out of slavery in order to get massacred out here?" And Moses' words to the people in that moment in Exodus 14 are so beautiful. "The Lord will fight for you. You only need to stop." So there they were. Stuck between death and death. And they waited. And Moses stepped up along the sea and outstretched his arms and his staff. And the Lord created a pathway through the sea. The people followed through that pathway to safety on the other side. And when the waters of the sea came crashing back down, the army of Egypt was swallowed once and for all. The Lord came through in their greatest moment of peril and darkness, when it seemed beyond all odds. They just had to wait. Here in the gospel story, the world is spinning out of control in a similar way. The people had thought this Jesus was going to set them free. Victory, they thought, was right there at their fingertips. He was riding into Jerusalem to confront the powers that be. He would put them in their place. Everything would be right, and God's people would be free. Jesus would be Lord. But it turned so quickly on them, just like it had the people of Israel during the Exodus. Jesus is rejected by the authorities, betrayed by one of his best friends, abandoned by the rest of his followers, and there he's sentenced to death by the crowds who yell, "Crucify him." And as Jesus hangs on the cross, just like it did in the Exodus story, it looks like all is lost. Death will certainly win. There's There's no hope. And Jesus dies. Here in this moment, one can hope that those faithful women and all those who were faithfully waiting remembered the Exodus story. The Lord will fight for you. You just need to stop. Wait. This waiting is what Jesus would want. It's what he had been about from the beginning. His very last words on the cross, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus was in an impossible place, but he trusted God would fight for him when God wanted to. And so he just needed to wait, to stop, to trust. So today on Holy Saturday, we wait. We stop all the madness of our strivings and busyness, we stop because we realize that nothing that we can do out there is going to fix the brokenness of our own lives, the brokenness of our world, the violence, the bloodshed, the death, the loss of our loved ones. Nothing we do out there is going to fix that. So we gather to wait. And it's not just today. This service is one of my favorite in the whole church calendar is because this service is a microcosm of what our lives are. Stuck in the question marks. Death seems to have clearly won the victory out there in our world. Death seems to have won the victory in our lives. The chaos, the brokenness, nothing in my life is gone the way I planned or wanted. It's all gone astray. It's a lost cause. That's what Holy Saturday is about, the lost causes. And we remember that we have nothing that we can do but wait. Trust. God will fight for us. We just need to wait. And so on this day we gather in the midst of a dark world and in a darkened sanctuary. With our physical eyes, all we see is darkness. Black, no light, no life, no hope. But as we wait and as we cling in faith and trust, our eyes of faith, in the midst of looking at the darkness of this room, the darkness of our world, our eyes of faith can already see something new happening. A new world. A light is dawning in the midst of this darkness. Our physical eyes can't see it. You can go out into the world around you and there's going to be no signs that the brokenness, the violence, the hatred, the madness of our world is any better. But as we wait and trust, the eyes of faith tell us God is fighting for us. He will come through. It may not be soon. That's what Jesus did. He waited. Let's put ourselves into God's hands as death surrounds us, as the darkness seems to win, and remember, God will bring his light. He will fix the madness. So let's just wait on him. Amen.